Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Duluth Rundown, a podcast focused on the local Twin Ports running scene. My name is Tony Stensland with Tony Stensland Coaching.
And I am Mike Ward with Duluth Timing and Events. This episode is sponsored by Austin Jaro, Duluth's original running specialty store. Austin Jaro has everything you need from running shoes, socks, apparel, gear, pretty much everything that you need to get out and get going for your run. Austin Jaro can be found at 917 West Central Entrance here in Duluth, up in the mall area, and reached by phone at 218-722-1155 or online at austin-jaro.com.
All right, and we are back with episode number 25 of the Duluth Rundown podcast. Mike, good to see you again. How's the last 3 weeks been for you?
Hey, Tony. Been pretty good. Been running a little bit, getting on the trails a little bit. Probably should do more.
About biking?
Not so much.
Not as much?
I need to start. I would like to start biking and running a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the fall season's here. That's like prime trail running time. And my whole goal since coronavirus came around was to just be fit enough to do a 20-mile run on the trails and not die. I haven't died yet, so. But I think if I tried, I would be close. So I got to get back a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it doesn't take too long. You'll be fine once you get rolling with some consistency, I guess.
And it's all about that consistency and all about the routine of it. Mm-hmm. And my routine is bad currently, so
yeah.
Oh well.
Yeah. Yeah. But well, I have faith in you, so I'm not worried about that.
Appreciate that.
So what do we have for today's episode? Well, we've got an interview later on with Tiffany Carey, so stay tuned for that. Everybody will be in the second section of the podcast. Really excited to talk to her. That'll be cool. We've got kind of our typical rundown stuff that we'll do. Talk a little bit about the current running scene, what's going on in Duluth in the running world. And Mike, where should we start?
How about race results?
Yeah, we actually have race results for the first time in, I don't know, a couple of months at least.
Few and far between, but we do have race results. The Runway 4K presented by Essentia Health was on August 14th, 2020. And these race results are a little confusing because they look just too fast. I mean, a 4K, it's already a short race, but so Charlie Juntinen, 16 years old from Duluth, wins the race in a 10:48, which is a 4 minutes 20 seconds mile. So I wonder if the course was perhaps short and it's just in this results system as a 4K still.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Cedric Lund, second place for guys, 10:58. He's 14 out of Duluth. And Sean Bailey, 15 years old, from Moose Lake, 11:54. So a 16, a 14, and a 15-year-old. On the guys' side, all some pretty fast times if that is the full course. On the ladies' side, the women's race was won by Esther Carlson from Shakopee, Minnesota, 61 years old, in a 12:32. So definitely a smoking fast time for Esther, fifth overall. And then Andrea Carroll from Hayward, 63 years old, second place for ladies in a 14:07. And a familiar name on the results, especially on the ladies' side, Sasha Wahman, 11 years old, third place for the gals in a 14:25.
So, nice job, Sasha. Good run.
Nice job, Sasha. 97 entries, 97 results in the race. So,
that's a fun race. I did that one a couple of years ago. That was a good time. Kind of a cool distance that you don't always get to do. I almost kind of wish it was a little bit earlier in the season when people are still a little bit fresh. Right. Or even kind of late in the season and maybe people are a little bit faster. But either way, I don't really have any, I guess it's not a major criticism at all because I really like that race. You get to run down on the airport tarmac down at Sky Harbor Airport, which is pretty cool.
Flat.
Yeah, very flat, very fast. Yeah. And yeah, a lot of fun.
Nice. So great job, all the Runway 4K runners. Good to see a couple races coming back. And you know, we have a few more on the horizon here.
Yeah, let's talk about those.
On September 11th is the Minnesota Mile. That's produced by Grandma's Marathon. They successfully put on the Park Point 5-miler. And so I think they're going to use a very similar template for the Minnesota Mile, which is Friday, September 11th. And then the very next day is the rescheduled Fickers 5K. So that is September 12th. And I believe that's kind of the all-day format, very similar to the 5-miler. And I'm not sure if they alter the course for that. I guess I haven't looked into it. But either way, they're both set to go. I've seen the advertisements. I think, you know, they feel confident that the races will, you know, both go on. And they're back-to-back days, September 11th and September 12th. So those are kind of two in-person races coming up. I believe they both have virtual options as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and so that'll be nice for everybody to get out and race those two races. And it'll be nice. We'll have something to talk about in terms of race results on our next podcast, episode 26, as well. So that's good to have all that. It's great for the community to have these things going.
Yeah. We kind of have some race news, I guess, to some extent. The NMTC Fall Trail Running Series has been canceled in person. But unlike the spring series, the fall series has kind of an added twist. It's a challenge, I guess.
Yep.
And so I guess the idea is, can you speak more knowledgeably about it, Tony? Or?
Yeah, so the idea is basically they're challenging people who normally you get out and you try to maybe make all of the races or as many as you can. Their challenge is to get out and to do a run on those trails. Doesn't have to be the exact route, but try to get into that neighborhood of where those trails are at. Time doesn't really matter. Just get out there, and with the idea really of exploring the trails, which is one of the beauties of NMTC, is you get to learn so many trails in Duluth. And so that's the challenge, and I think it's a great idea. Get people a chance to see some stuff that they don't maybe don't always get a chance to see.
How about this challenge? Plot out all the courses from like east to west or west to east along Duluth,
mm-hmm.
bike to each course, do them all in one day.
Well, I don't think you can, for one. Partially, well, like for instance, Bagley, you're not allowed to bike on the.
But you can like bike to the trailhead, do the run.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're not saying bike the actual route.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a super cool challenge. That would be difficult.
Be a long
That'd
day.
Be a long bike run double day.
Because one's in Cloquet, I believe.
Yeah, one's in Cloquet.
That'd be a long day.
I don't know. Did they have any in Superior? They usually have one or two in Superior.
They usually do.
Yeah, so you have to go over there.
That might be a logistical nightmare. maybe two days.
It'd be hard enough just to drive and do all that, actually.
Yeah, right. To bike, that's a lot.
That's a heck of a challenge, though. I kind of like it.
That was just a freestyle, just off the top of my head. So.
But no, I like their idea to get out and have everybody get out and try to get on the trails for each respective race. I think is a really cool idea because I guess both in the spring and the fall, there's some really neat trails to see. So, yeah, get out there and do that, folks.
And that's really what it's all about anyway, so...
Yeah.
And in kind of the similar point of NMTC, Northern Runner, which has always been kind of managed by NMTC, if I'm not mistaken, to kind of some extent...
Yeah, more or less, yeah. Yep.
Is going offline very shortly, if not already. I think it's maybe at the end of this month. Okay. NorthlandRunner.com is officially going offline. And the new website is northland.run. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that was. I just had it up.
Yeah, I think it's northland.run. And I remember seeing this on social media or something, and it's possible to download your results, I believe. So there's still time to do that if you want to go in to northlandrunner.com. And then just FYI, if you see northlandrunner.com down, it's northland.run.
That's right. Yep.
So... Yep. Have some news. Moving on to trails report. You been on the trails at all lately, Tony?
You know, I've been in Bagley a lot. Mm-hmm. That's kind of my main training grounds. I love that soft surface. And so I'm there probably four, maybe five times a week. And sometimes I double. So I might get probably seven runs a week. Nice. In Bagley alone on those wood chip trails. It's not the most fun to do loop after loop after loop, but I'll take the surface any day. So I'm in there a lot. And then I did do Hartley for a run. Actually, I did two runs in Hartley. One, I did a little workout on the gravel, the old Hartley Road. I did some 1K repeats there. And then I also did guardrail too one day. So, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And you notice a little intersection on the guardrail? A Y in the trail or something?
Oh, I didn't notice like a...
Oh.
Like
a, with the new section?
Well, yeah. So, yes, I guess... what I noticed was... It was longer again.
Yeah.
And it really felt like how it used to feel, like, I don't know, maybe like 10 years ago. I know it's not the exact same route. I've kind of lost track of what the actual route was anymore, but it felt that way, how you go to guardrail. It felt like when you would run guardrail, it was a bit of a commitment. You knew you were going to be out there a little ways.
Like
and then
hours.
When they shortened it in the last handful of years, maybe 4 or 5 years, maybe, I'm guessing, it really felt, all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, I'm back already.
Right.
I'm already back here to this intersection and coming up to the pines. And so to have it be long again just sort of feels right to me. And I'm very happy about that.
Yeah, it's fun to be able to, and Hartley's so great for that, is to be able to do, you know, a 10K run or even longer sometimes, 7-8 mile run.
Yeah.
Loop.
Yeah.
All within Hartley, you know. And sometimes it takes some, you know, zigzagging loops, but
right.
You can really get a lot of trail in there. It's pretty fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So if anybody hasn't ran guardrail since it's been extended, and you're thinking you have a certain amount of time to get back home, give yourself an extra, I don't know, 10 minutes maybe,
right.
Something like maybe even 15, maybe, depending on how fast you're going, I guess. But yeah, give yourself some extra time because it's a little longer than it used to be just, I don't know, a month ago, maybe, two months ago.
Right.
Yeah.
I know you got a coach's corner.
Yeah, actually, it's interesting. I have a coach's corner by request. One of our listeners, Dave, texted me and said, can you talk about warming up? Specifically, you know, warming up before races, and specifically for the Minnesota Mile. Dave is going to be running the Minnesota Mile, and he was really kind of curious about warm-ups. And I think that's a good question. First thing I think you have to ask, you know, why warm up? You know, what is a warm up supposed to do? What's it supposed to feel like and give to me? And one thing that I kind of think about is everybody has the experience of going out for a run, and you're in pretty good shape, and you can kind of go out and run 5-6 miles, you know, just about any time. And when you've been doing that for a little while, a couple miles, the first 2 miles, they don't go very well. You don't feel warmed up. You know, it's not until you get into like mile 3 or so, things start to kind of flow a little bit better. Well, that's what's happening, is your body is warming up in those first mile or two. And before a race, well, you don't want that. You know, you want to be warmed up. You want to have that race from the get-go feel like mile 3 of your 5 mile run, so that you're kind of flowing and everything's just moving well. So that's what the warm-up is for, to skip that initial sluggishness feeling, and that sometimes I call it the rusty robot feel when I'm out there running. I just like, oh, everything just feels, I don't know, like just stiff and I don't know. But so what do you do to warm up to get ready for your race? Well, everybody's a little bit different, and so there's a lot of different options. First thing I would think about is the time that you might need. So for me, for example, I like a good 2 mile jog for sure, enough to get just a little sweat going, just a little bit. You're not going to be drenched in sweat. It's not going to be running down your face, but just kind of a little bit going. So that's a good thing, a good place to start. And then, you know, some things like leg swings, some strides, some drills, some skip drills, and there's a million different versions of all this stuff. So what I would suggest to people is go to YouTube, type in leg swings for runners, something like that, and there's going to be a bunch of options, and start practicing those a little bit. Type in strides for runners, that kind of thing, warm-up strides, learn what those are, and practice those a little bit. And then type in drills, skip drills, sometimes A skip, B skip, C skip, there's a million different skip drills and things that you can do. Type in that, learn some of those, and throw in, and just kind of, I don't know, gather a few of them up, of both leg swings, strides, skips, and see what works for you. Practice those. When you're warming up, maybe spend a good 15 minutes, you know, 10 to 15 minutes on that kind of a stuff. Again, to kind of get the tendons firing a little bit, get the muscles firing, get everything nice and loose and ready to go. And then time it so that when you're done with all that kind of stuff, it's just a couple, 3, 4, 5 minutes right before race time. Also, when you do these two, maybe, you know, you're typically wearing a little bit more clothing, maybe a longer pair of pants, a jacket if it's a little chilly out. Again, just with the idea of getting that sweat going a little bit. So those are the things that I do, and I think most people do as well. A little warm-up jog, some leg swings, some strides, some skips, and then you should be ready to roll.
Now, what about warming up for the different distance of race? Do you recommend warming up, say, longer for a one-mile race than for a marathon?
For sure. Yeah, I think that's a great question. In fact, honestly, if with a marathon, I don't know how much warm-up is really necessary. You want to kind of save calories for one thing, so there is a little bit of that. It depends on just your overall fitness. You know, some people who are hammering like 80, 90 miles a mile weeks and they're just super, super fit, they can definitely jog a little bit before a marathon and they're done in like, you know, like 2.5 hours. Like those guys are kind of on a different level a lot of times. Your average Joe probably doesn't need a lot of warm-up at all before for a marathon. I honestly don't know if I ever really have much before any marathon, even half marathons. But you know, 5K, 10K in the mile specifically, yeah, for sure. Definitely want to do that. Feel you know, awake and get the body going. Speaking of marathons and warm-ups, I don't know how much this is done, but I've heard that at times, like elites, you know, their marathon will start, you know, 7 or 8 a.m. They'll wake up at like 4 or 5 in the morning and run. They'll get a run in.
Wow.
First, run a couple, 3, 4 miles. And then they'll maybe eat a really light breakfast and do some stretching and that kind of a thing.
Huh.
Because what it does is it wakes the body up a little bit.
Right.
The body actually performs a little better in the evening or in the late afternoon than it does early in the morning.
Right.
That's why track meets are almost always in the evenings.
Huh.
The only thing that's in the morning really is the marathons typically.
Right.
Because of temperature and the time that you're out there.
Sure.
In the more of the professional world, you know,
right.
Track meets like in Europe and stuff are typically more in the evenings because the bodies performs better then.
Right.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But like the Minnesota Miles in the evening, so that might be a benefit.
It could
right
be a very good thing, actually. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yep. Yeah. That's why there used to be a lot more like twilight kind of road races.
Right.
You know, they used to call them twilight 10K, twilight 5K, that kind of thing. There's not as many of those anymore, and I think there should be. I think that it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
There was a big race in Ames, Iowa called Midnight Madness, and it used to be, well, we have the Midnight Sun Run too, so Midnight
yeah.
Madness was like that. It was at midnight, then they switched it to like 8 p.m. and then it was a big party afterwards.
Uh-huh.
But that was a lot of fun to go down and do that race. In fact, what you could do, what I had done is there was also a local 10K in that morning, so I'd race a 10K that morning and then go down and race another 10K that night.
Huh.
It was fun.
My PR was at the Midnight Sun Midnight Run for a time.
Yeah.
And I was like, is it just because I was more fit, or is it because of the late night, or is it because I had a beer before?
Well, I would start with fitness, then maybe go to beer. No, I don't know.
Yeah. Like, what do I do? I'm bored. I'll drink a beer, I guess. You know?
Yeah, it's a long way to wait.
Long way to wait, yeah.
Sorry to interrupt, but that's kind of my warm-up tip for especially for folks doing the shorter races like the mile and the 5K coming up here in a handful of weeks.
Nice. Do you want to get on to a gear review, some new kicks that you recently procured?
Yeah, it's a very brief gear review. With regards to this specific, I bought some new shoes just the other day up at AJ's, up at Austin Jaro. A shoe that I probably would never have bought a couple of years ago, maybe even like a year ago, but I decided I'm going to try it just because I'm changing a little bit. My body's changing and what is kind of working for me. And I'm glad I did. So I bought the ASICS Kayano, the 27, the newer one. And I guess I don't know when it was released, but I'm pretty sure the 27 is the most updated Kayano. And I ran today in them for the first time, 10 miles right out of the box, and I really, really liked them. The past about 3 years, I've been running a lot in the Brooks Transcend, which is I guess technically what we would call a stability shoe. It's not stability in the classic sense with using dual density post, but it does use stability with their guide rail technology. And again, that I normally in the past kind of shied away from stability shoes, and the Keanu specifically is a stability shoe with dual density foam in the midsole, so more in the classic way to do stability. And I definitely would have avoided that in all scenarios, you know, even just 2 years ago, but certainly even 5-10 years ago, because I didn't need it, and two, I found at times when I would sort of try it, I would notice it to its detriment a little bit. I didn't like it. But this Keanu was super comfortable. I didn't notice the post. I didn't feel it, but I felt that it was still keeping me kind of centered on the shoe.
Mm-hmm.
Very comfortable. I loved the cushioning on it. It was just firm enough, but it was still soft where, you know, I felt very comfortable. And the miles just rolled by today. At 10 miles, it was over with. I wasn't pushing by any means, but just it just felt effortless the whole time. So it was really nice. Kind of getting back to that stability and neutral stuff that we talk about in the running shoe world, and those lines are blurring a little bit compared to what they were before, but it's still out there. And what I have personally learned is that overall comfort is king. And like I said, I wouldn't even have looked at a stability shoe a handful of years ago at all, but now I'll try one on. And when I try it on, so I'm looking for what really feels comfortable on my foot. And when I'm trying on shoes, I'm paying attention to how does it feel underneath the foot, for one. That's an obvious. The amount of cushioning, the firmness, the softness of it. How does it cradling my foot? And then, you know, with regards to that cradling the foot, like, how does it feel around the foot? Is it pinching at a flex point? Is it kind of loose in the heel collar? Is it hugging the heel really well? Is it around the midfoot, is it tight? Is it a little too wide through there? I have a pretty narrow foot, so sometimes shoes can fit a little too wide, and I use the term blousy. It just kind of feels a little like too much shoe in there, whether it's in the forefoot or in the midfoot. So I pay attention to all of that, and then just the whole package altogether, running in it a little bit in the running store, or walking around in it, seeing how that feels, and then comparing other shoes to others and just kind of whittling it down from there. When I'm trying on shoes, I don't worry one bit about brand. I don't worry one bit about color. We talked about this, I think, on the last podcast a little bit. Like, to me, like, none of that stuff matters. It's all about comfort and what you need for that specific shoe to do for you. And,
right.
Yeah.
So how many did you try on before you settled on the Keanu?
I tried on not a whole lot. The Transcend, the Triumph, the Nimbus. I was going to try on one or two other ones, but they didn't have my size in that, but that's okay, because I probably wouldn't have gone with them anyway. They were going to be more like sort of like a long shot shoe anyway, I felt like. But I was kind of actually going to, I whittled it down to the Nimbus and the Transcend. And like I say, I know the Transcend super well. I've been in, I don't know how many pairs in the last 3 years, and so that was the safe bet. But Jarl said, well, why not try the Keanu? And I was like, okay, yeah, why not? I'm here. I'll try on the Keanu. And yeah, I was like, oh yeah, I like this a little better than the Nimbus. I can tell that there's a little bit more rigidity to it in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
And I can also tell that it's a little more rigid than the Transcend as well.
Wow,
but again,
yeah,
in a good way. And one thing that the Transcend has versus the Keanu is a lot wider kind of base underneath the foot. So when we're looking at a shoe, you know, you kind of think of like a pyramid, and a really wide base is one way that a shoe can be inherently stable, simply
right,
more shoe on the ground at one given time.
Right.
So that's one way where the Transcend gets its stability from, is that wide base. And the Keanu actually has a little bit of a, more of a narrow base, especially kind of midfoot on back in the heel area.
Right.
So in a way, that almost made it to me maybe a slightly more runnable.
Sure.
The Keanu is not a go-fast shoe, nor is the Transcend, but if I had to race in one of those two, I would probably pick the Keanu.
The Transcend just looks big. It's kind of like a plotter.
Right, exactly. Yep, yeah. And both of these really technically are plotting shoes.
Yeah, right.
Well, technically, I don't know if that's that word, but that's what you would think of them, man. They're just pound-out-the-mile shoes. They're old-guy shoes, like, you know.
Yeah, right.
It's, you know, it's you need the cushioning kind of a thing. But if I had to race in a Keanu, I guess I would. I mean, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh.
So anyway, I'm pleased that I got it, and I'm looking forward to more miles in it.
We'll see in 3-4 weeks if
how I'm still feeling.
10-mile tester was a good test.
Right, if it was an anomaly or if that was just kind of par for how it's going to go.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you have anything that you're into? I know I do, so...
I do a real quick one, but you go first.
Okay.
Because I've been talking here forever.
So, what I'm into, and now, like... Every episode now we've talked about speed golf.
Yeah.
But I'm actually really into the speed disc golf.
Yeah.
After you said it, and I kind of brushed it off, like, oh, no. And then I started thinking about it. I was like, wait, that's actually really cool. And I'm going to do it. And I'm into this now.
Yeah.
And I did it a few times. Like, this actually isn't super cool. But it's still fun. It really is. And, you know, I've been playing some disc golf this summer just for fun, just something else. And so naturally, the speed disc golf. Furthermore, I mean, for people who aren't super familiar with disc golf in general, you know, it's in the woods, it's on a trail, it's fairly different from a, you know, ball golf. Mm-hmm. And being a, you know, loving trail running, it kind of blends both of those worlds really nicely. But yeah, I mean, I think golf, whether it's disc golf or ball golf, is kind of a leisure sport, and running is maybe a little more intense. It doesn't always have to be. But, you know, when you're going for a speed golf, like, you bring the intensity. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not like a jogging type, you know, I'm going for, like, my daily jog. Like, you're pushing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so that makes it a little, I think, less fun because it's kind of stressful, you know. You're kind of, like, just pick it up and throw, and then you have a terrible throw every time because you're not focusing. And then you got to run further, and so it's challenging. But I did a couple courses, you know, really going for time. One was a UMD, which is, you know, 9 holes, very short, kind of pitch and putt, you know, the easiest course in the area for sure. And, you know, so that was a pretty fun one to go for. And then I also did the Corey Park. Mm-hmm. Out west Duluth area, and that was a little more challenging, you know, kind of a tough 9-hole, and definitely some longer drives and some more dense vegetation and trees, and so that made the speed golf kind of aspect, speed disc golf aspect, definitely more challenging. But
yeah,
it's fun. I think I'd try a different course, like Mont du Lac has a really like an 18-hole. Uh-huh. And it's in the woods, cool trails, so I think that would be a fun one to try.
Have you done any disc golf out in Superior at their new place?
I did, yes.
Yeah.
That was a really hard one. They have a one hole that's almost 1,000 feet.
I saw that.
So
we did a group run out there, and I was looking at their map that they have at the parking lot.
Yeah.
It used to be the archery range. Everybody knows it as the archery range,
okay.
But the archery range is gone, and now they have a disc golf course there. And I was looking at the length of that one hole. I think it's number 12, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was impressive.
That's like 3 like solid drives just to get to the pin.
Yeah.
You know, close to it. So that would be a fun one too, 18 holes, and it's a challenging course.
Yeah.
And it'd be, you know, probably a 5-mile run, really.
Yeah.
So I mean, yeah, that would be a challenge. That'd be a challenge for sure. So that's on the bucket list.
There you
go.
That's
on the list, cool. I guess, yeah.
That's cool. What I'm into is actually it's really more of a just this is a cool thing that happened, but probably most of our listeners I imagine are aware of at this point now. But a world record was set in the 5K.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So that was pretty cool. 12:35.
Wow.
Which is pretty fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joshua Cheptegei from Uganda, the young guy. Yeah. I didn't think that 12:37 was the old record, and I didn't think that was going to be beaten for quite... Well, it wasn't actually beaten for quite some time, but, yeah, that's impressive.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's cool to, you know, see in a coronavirus world, you know, where I think a lot of elite athletes are wondering what, you know, their futures are, and running especially, and, you know, major marathons, you know... So many questions, and especially for a pro runner.
Yeah,
you know, you probably have questions in a normal year, a great year of like, is this the right profession? And
it's interesting. I was actually watching today. I was watching some Diamond League event in Stockholm, and that was pretty cool. You know, there one guy, the Norwegian Karsten Warholm, almost set the world record in the 400 hurdles. He hit the last hurdle, otherwise he probably would have. set the world record. But, you know, guys are still, guys and gals are still competing hard. They're mm-hmm. still doing some really amazing things, you know. So it's cool that these events are still going on, especially in Europe, where the track and field world is a lot bigger deal than it is here. Mm-hmm. But Donovan Brazier, you know, won again today. It was cool to see him race really well. So it's been fun to watch, yeah, for sure.
Great. I guess our last segment is the shout-out segment. And I know we wanted to talk about the Leadville 100,000 vertical feet challenge.
Yeah, I don't even know if that's the official name, but that, that sums it up.
Yeah, I don't know the official name. I don't know the even the nuts and bolts of it. I probably should have pulled it up, but it's 10 weeks,
mm-hmm.
correct, and 10,000 vertical feet. So that's
100,000 vertical feet.
100,000, excuse me. So yeah. 10,000 per week on average.
Yeah.
And I know we have at least two locals that completed it recently.
Yep.
Kyle Sather and Chris Rubesch.
Yeah. So shout out to those guys.
Shout
for
out to
sure.
those guys.
Major disadvantage being a Flatlander to have to do that kind of vert, because you can't get in, you know, 10,000 on one hike slash run. You, the best you can do is like Spirit Mountain, go up for 600 feet or whatever, then you have to come back down and then go back up for 1,200 feet, and then you still have to come back down.
Right.
So I know Kyle, what he was doing was just setting his treadmill on a super crazy incline and just going for a run
to get
and
it
that
in.
Way it's all vertical, every step is vertical rather than, you know, having to go back downhill again.
Wow.
So big shout out to any Flatlander who was able to accomplish that, Chris and Kyle and anybody else locally too.
Now what do you think the training aspects or ramifications, excuse me, of that are? I mean, do you think that's good for, you know, just or maybe good or bad for, you know, getting fit for a race or something, you know?
I don't know. I told Kyle he's going to be Quadzilla. He's just going to be so strong.
Yeah.
I don't know. Overall, it's got to be, I mean, great fitness. It's a lot of running.
Right.
You know, so
from an aerobic,
you never really go wrong with that. So,
right.
Yeah.
Building the engine up.
And with that uphill, too, you don't get the pounding on the body versus like a downhill or flats or something. So, I mean, it tends to be a little softer landing when you're going up a steeper hill. It's just harder to do. But, I don't know. We'll see. I have to see how they perform.
Right.
They get a chance.
Kind of a cool challenge either way. So
Yeah.
Should we get on to our interview portion here?
Yeah, that's about it for the kind of the rundown segment, I think. And now we'll get ready for the interview with Tiffany Carey.